Even when we don't know that he's good to us, he's good to us. I mean, the Bible says, for all things work together for good. Right? All things. And what a blessing to know that we serve that kind of God that loves us, takes care of us, and is good to us. And we should be good to him as well. Let's go ahead and have junior church be dismissed. So kids, you can head back and then up to the Ed building. So kids, you can head over there. Let me read a couple of these that we got, some thank you cards. This one is from the Andersons, Joey and Amy Anderson, of course. Says, Dear Faith Baptist Church, thank you once and again for your faithful and generous support to our family's ministry in Papua New Guinea. Your extra offering was helpful in the purchase of a used pickup in good condition, which, with the Lord's blessing, will serve us well in our labors for the Lord. We pray he will bestow fruit to your account. May we be found faithful until he comes in Christ. The Andersons, of course, these are from our missions conference offerings that have cycled through to them. This one is from the Stedmans. And as Dear Faith Baptist Church, we are so appreciative of the special gift you sent us. It came just at the right time. God bless you all for your prayers and support. Your generous gift was such a help to us. It is much appreciated. And then something in another language. So I'm glad they know what it is. Just showing off. The Stedmans are just showing off right there. That's what's happening. But amen. Thank you again for your faithfulness and giving. And that we were able to, of course, give that money to the missionaries. And thank the Lord for that. 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, where we'll begin. Thank you for being here this morning. 1 Timothy 1. And we're going to start reading in verse number 1. So 1 Timothy 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, thank God for that, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And Paul led him to the Lord, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now skip down to verse 18. He says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might by them, mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwrecked. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Just ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Lord, I do thank you for being good. Lord, we could raise our hands and we could just talk about the goodness of God here this morning for quite a while. Lord, you are good to us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, it's not just in song, but Lord, it's in our hearts and on our lips to thank you and to praise you for your kindness and your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't forget it. I pray we wouldn't allow the things of this life to overshadow, Lord, our thoughts and our knowledge of how good you are to us. Lord, even your goodness leads us to repentance. Lord, thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message this morning, that you would use me. Lord, that you would your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of your people here this morning. And Lord, the right spirit would be here. Lord, that people would be awake and attentive this morning. Lord, I pray that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. And let us thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, writing to this younger man in the faith who Paul says that he's left here at Ephesus. Paul has moved on and went to Macedonia and left left Timothy, there in Ephesus. And he's encouraging him. He's He's teaching him. He's writing these letters to Timothy to say, hey, don't forget to do these things. Timothy might have been put in this position, and he might not have felt like he was ready for it. Timothy kind of taking over the leadership there at Ephesus for a while and taking over the church and training up some elders. And Paul is writing to this young man, and he's encouraging him, and he's warning him as well. As you read through Timothy, 1 Timothy, and then the second letter, 2 Timothy, there's some warnings about things that are going to happen and things that will be, and encouragements and charges to kind of keep going and stay where you're supposed to stay, and don't forget to do these things. And so Paul is writing here as an encouragement. And so he's talking to younger Timothy, and he's in First and Second Timothy, he uses the word faith over 34 times, a form of the word faith. He talks about it to Timothy 34 times in these two letters. As he writes to encourage and strengthen Timothy in the ministry, he also warns him about what he's going to see and what he's going to experience in this life. And as a young person, as young people in general, you try to encourage them to serve the Lord and keep going. But the reality is they're going to see some other people that don't always keep going and don't always stay strong in the faith. And so Paul covers that. And he talks about those things. And in verse number 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. He says, but which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I want to preach a message this morning called A Shipwrecked Faith. A Shipwrecked Faith. Now, Paul knew something about shipwrecks. All right, now I'm not a big boat guy. All right, and the reason for that is because I get motion sick. All right, so if I'm in a boat and I'm moving, I'm pretty good. I mean, you could get me, you know, on the river, on the lake, on the ocean, whatever. You get me out moving, I'm doing pretty good. But you stop and sit there and just let that, you know. And I'm like, I need to find the edge. I don't do well, right? So I'm not a big boat guy, right? And with not being a big boat guy means I don't know that much about shipwreck. All right, but Paul does. Paul certainly knew something about shipwreck. In 2 Timothy chapter 11, he says, thrice I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day I have been in the deep. He said, three times I've been in shipwrecks. Of course, Paul was traveling all over the place and trying to get here and there. It's three times I've been shipwrecked, and one time I hung out for a night and a day in the deep. No, I'm good with that. No, thanks. I'm all right. Say why? I don't know what's in those waters.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some big stuff in those waters. Did you ever know that? There's some big stuff when you get out in the ocean. We were in Pensacola, and this is many years ago, and some friends of mine, we went to the beach, and in Pensacola, you can usually see this sandbar that's pretty close. You kind of have this little dip of water, so you kind of swim through the water, and you go out to the sandbar, and it's waist deep, and throw in a frisbee or a football around or whatever. And then there's another sandbar. You can see it, usually, there in the Gulf. You can see it out there, but, you know, when you're on the water, you don't really know how far it is. And you're looking, oh, there it is. So some friends of ours were like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to swim out to that sandbar. Sure we were. So we start swimming. So there's this guy, he's with us, and he's about 6'2 or so. And I said, oh, you're going to be the one to tell us how deep we're getting. All right, so we go out there, and we're swimming out there. And I said, okay, go down there. And, you know, the water near the beach, I mean, that water is crystal clear on that gulf. And as you get out there, it gets deeper. And we're out there, and we can't see around anymore. And so I said, all right, why don't you go down and see if you can touch the bottom. And he goes, I'm gonna stick my hand up, and so we'll see how deep it is, right? So he starts to go under the water, and he gets like this deep, and he comes back up. I'm scared. I'm not doing it. I'm not going down there, right? We're like, okay, whatever. So we keep swimming. And so we're looking back, and look, oh man, I don't think we're gonna make it. I don't think we're gonna make it out to that sandbar. I don't want to get stuck out there. I'm tired already. I'm not a great swimmer. Like, I don't know if we're going to make it out there. We're swimming. And then at that moment, this fish jumps out of the water. Now, I don't want to exaggerate, all right, but it was closer to us than the end of the wall. And this fish jumps out. This was like a human-sized fish, right? I know fish stories get bigger. But now to the shore, like my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she was on the shore. It looked like the fish jumped over us, you know what I mean, because of the depth. And it was this massive fish. It jumps out of the water. And our thoughts were, if that big fish jumped out of the water, something scared that big fish. For those of you that know who Michael Phelps is, he didn't have anything on us at that moment. We were almost like the Lord and Peter and walked on water to get back to the shore. A friend of ours had already started back. He's like, I'm not a very good swimmer. I'm gonna head back. I'm not going any further. We pass him up on the way, you know, big fish, you know, like all the way to the shore and say, what was it? I don't know, but there's big stuff out there. And so being shipwrecked in the sea, hanging out for a night, what was that? A night and a day? No, that's not my thing. But when we talk about shipwrecked faith, there's some similarities there. You don't want to end up with shipwrecked faith. You don't want to end up like that. Acts chapter 27, of course, there's a storm at sea. And Paul is in the boat at this time. He says, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, Luke writes in the book of Acts 27. For there shall be, this is what Paul says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. The ship's not going to make it, but your life is going to be spared. The big storm that had come in there, what happened? Shipwreck again. And part of Paul's warning to young Timothy is that some Christians have shipwrecked their faith. Now, when I talk about our faith, there's kind of a couple avenues to this, right? Our faith is, we can, in our faith, believe in Christ, right? So an element of faith is we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for salvation. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sin and my sin. And so God requires us to have a righteousness that we cannot obtain on our own to get to heaven. We can't do the best we can and just hope that God's going to be happy enough to let us in the door. It doesn't work that way. The Bible's very clear about that. You and I, our works aren't good enough. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus Christ, we heard earlier, God manifest in the flesh, was born of a woman and yet of the seed of the Holy Ghost of God, and chose not to sin, although he was tempted in all points like as we are. And when he died and laid his life down for you and I, that sacrifice was good. Amen. And the Bible says that we, by faith, can believe in Christ and to save our souls, and that salvation, that righteousness is good enough. So by faith, we can put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And it's only in that for salvation. But when you put your faith in there, you put your faith in Christ, you put it in Christ one time and he promises to save you. Amen. But the faith or your faith didn't end there. The Bible talks about living by faith, living according to faith, living in faith. There's a faith of an that's outward in our living. That is living in the faith. Look in verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He says, so do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. All right, 1 John chapter number 3, don't have to turn there, but Jesus Christ talks about this commandment. John talks about this commandment from Christ. It's that you believe on Christ and love one another. Amen. That's the commandment. believe on Christ and love one another. It's the commandment. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned, not fake, not false. That's feigned, a fake type of faith. We are to edify in faith. We are to live in faith. We are to walk in faith. We are to keep the faith. That's what we are to do. So it's more than just a one-time thing of my faith was in Jesus Christ, and now I'm just kind of wandering around. No, to believe in Christ and to walk in that is to stay in the faith. Amen. Jude says that we are to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yeah. It's not just I believe. A faith is more than that. A faith is a belief in Christ and a belief in God and a belief in His Word and a walking after that. Amen. Jude also says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Right. That's not a one-time thing. That's a continual thing. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 14, writing to Christians, says, continue in the faith. Amen. Continue. Keep going in what? The faith. Amen. In the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith, in the doctrines, in the Word of God, in the teachings of the Scripture, in the truth of God's Word. We're to stand fast there in the faith. The faith includes sound doctrine. It includes a life lived in faith. Living in the faith includes an outward separation from the world that is against the faith. Living in the faith is believing that God is working all things together for good. Amen. That is in the faith. And some Christians, they start well but become shipwrecked in their faith along the way. Too many Christians become shipwrecked along the way. If I spent about 60 seconds right now and thought, I could probably come up with at least 60 names off the top of my head of people that I know that are shipwrecked and out and gone and whatever is happening in their lives. What went on? They shipwrecked their faith. Amen. They shipwrecked their faith. And it's a warning. It's a warning to you and I that we should take heed in Timothy about this being shipwrecked in the faith. I'd like to say firstly about this being shipwrecked in the faith. We get it right from verse number 19 where we're already hanging out. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 19. He says, holding faith and of a good conscience, while some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. They've put away. I'd like to say that firstly. Some people shipwreck their faith because they put away the faith. They put it away. Paul says to hold it. In Corinthians, he says, stand fast. We already read, continue in the faith in Acts. We're to hold the faith. We're to hold it with a good conscience. And in verse number 5, we read it already a couple times, but it says we're to have charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That thing of a conscience is more than just how the world uses the term. It's a Bible term, conscience, and someone would say, well, you know, my conscience, that goes against my conscience. Now, what is a conscience? Our conscience is the thing in every man and woman and child that God places in their heart to know right from wrong. That's a conscience. God puts it there. It's not an accident. It's there to connect us to God. God puts that there. I'll show you. Romans chapter 2. Keep your finger in Timothy. We're coming back. Romans chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse number 11. Romans 2, 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, this is talking about the Old Testament law. Do you like that voice crack right there? It's been a few years since that happened, but it just did right there. I got you, Austin. Let me get back on track now, all right? If I had just let it go, it would have just passed, but I didn't let it go. Talking about the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law, those that understood the law was given to the Jews, those that understood God's law, they were judged by that law. But it says here, those without the law are judged also without the law. How is that possible? Look in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, right, outside of the Jews, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses and his people. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Well, that doesn't sound fair. Well, here's the law they have, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What's God's? God says he wrote his law on the hearts of mankind. He gave tables of stone to the Jews to say, here's the Ten Commandments and here are the other laws that I want you to keep as a people separate from me. He says, but the Gentiles do things that are similar to the law. Why? Because God wrote it on their hearts. You can study history and go around in civilizations of the world and you will find laws written very similar. We're talking thousands of years ago, very similar to the Ten Commandments given to the Jews. Why? Because God wrote that on man's heart. God wrote it on man's heart. Don't kill. Don't take stuff that's not yours. Your wife is your wife. Someone else's wife is not your wife. Don't lie to each other. Don't have any other gods before me. God wrote that on man's heart to draw them closer to him. Amen. And to obey that law. That's our conscience. That's what God has given us as a conscience, and man's conscience works in conjunction with the Holy Ghost of God after we get saved. And the first step to a shipwrecked faith is to ignore your conscience and the Holy Ghost. They've put away concerning the faith. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2. The Bible says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What happens? Well, God's given us this conscience in our heart, and he's given us this this guide in our heart to follow after righteousness and to follow after God and to obey him with the truth that we have, and as God continues to give truth. And he tells us to follow after him, but the Bible says here that we can sear our conscience with a hot iron. What can happen? We can take that conscience and we can push it down and push it down and push it down and push it down and ignore it and ignore it and ignore it and ignore it and continue to go against it and continue to go against it and against it. And what happens? We sear our conscience to now we think, now all the lines of good and evil are blurred because we've seared it to the point where we have no feeling for our conscience anymore. It doesn't, that's not what I think. And God has given us that conscience to lead and guide and direct us. And that's what he's given. Amen. And to hinder the Holy Ghost of God in your life and to hinder the conscience that God has given you to go forward, to follow after God, and to make excuses, what happens? We are putting away our faith that's been delivered unto us. Little by little. The Holy Ghost of God and the conscience that works within us, we push it down, little by little, decision by decision, slowly, one message at a time, one day at a time. We close the Bible. We don't pray. We don't try to walk with God. We try to justify ourselves before God. And what happens? A shipwrecked faith. a shipwrecked faith. You don't want a shipwrecked faith. You don't want that. You don't want that. But people do. And it's sad. It's sad to see them little by little move away from what God has placed in their hearts and what God has spoken to them about. And little by little go after whatever else it is and to put down the conscience. And pretty soon what happens? They have a shipwrecked faith. And a shipwrecked faith usually leads to a shipwrecked life. Amen. That's what happens. But that's not the only thing. That's just a putting away the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we are here, look in verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." They're going to depart from the faith. Paul tells Timothy, listen, the things that you've been taught, the things that you've learned from the scriptures and the doctrines that you've been taught by us, hold fast unto those things. Hold fast unto that truth of the scripture. But he says here that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. So some put off the faith and some depart from the faith. No born-again believer departs from the faith without giving in to another spirit. It's just how it happens. The Holy Spirit of God does not lead you to depart from the faith. The Holy Spirit of God leads and guides and directs you in the faith. To stay in the faith. Well, I don't really know what the faith is. If you're saved and born again, you go into God's Word and you ask God, Lord, would your Holy Spirit lead and guide and teach me? Because in John, he said he would be your guide and teacher. And you start to learn. You don't have to know everything at one time. But the Holy Spirit of God starts to teach you what is the faith. Amen. And through the Word of God and through the preaching of the Word of God, continues to lead you and guide you and speak to you in the faith and tell you what the faith is and how you should live and how you should direct your life. And those that depart from the faith, they give heed to another spirit. They give in to another spirit. The devil wants nothing more than to shipwreck your faith in this life. He wants nothing more. If you're saved and born again, he can't get your soul. So you know what he wants to do? Shipwreck your life. Shipwreck your faith. He wants you to depart from the faith and be of no surrender and no use unto the Lord to anybody else. He wants you to shipwreck your faith, leave the faith, get caught up in anything else, and draw others away from the faith is what he wants you to do. He wants you to be out in the storms of this life or washed up on some unknown shore without your faith. That would please the devil to no end. Many a Christians have departed from the faith and they're out there just, well, I'm going to figure it out. And they've gone to some other answers, their own mind, their own friends, their own education, their own smartphone, have gone to something else to say, we'll figure life out. And don't shipwreck your faith. Amen. Don't shipwreck your faith. They depart from the faith. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen to you. You might get offended in this Christian life. It might happen. You might find a hypocrite in this Christian life, like when you pass by the mirror. You might find one. Things might not go as planned all of the time. Don't depart. Don't depart from the faith. Amen. Peter says, to whom shall we go? Whom shall we go? Amen. Now, young people don't have the experience, and the world shines with glitter and glamour. And so young people often think, well, whatever, this church thing is just what I've always done. But man, look at the world out there. Whew, that looks exciting. That looks fun. That looks enticing. That looks like I could still kind of serve God and do all the things that I ever saw that I ever wanted to do. But if you have some years on you, I mean, you can't deceive yourself that much, right? If you have some years on you, you have to understand, what is there outside of Christ that's worth living for, that's worth striving for, that's worth setting aim for and shoot? What is there outside of Christ that's going to fulfill, like serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to give purpose, that's going to give direction like Christ? Money? Yeah, sure, we wish we all had more of it. But you know what happens if you got more of it? You'd spend more of it. That's what would happen. Money comes and it goes and it makes us feel good until we realize how frail it is. Some kind of title? Some kind of... we can stick our chest out and feel good about our accomplishments? How long does that last? Someone's right behind you trying to tear you down. The higher you get, the more people are trying to tear you down. It's just a rat race. Man, what is it? To whom shall we go? That's what Peter says. To whom shall we go? And it's right. It's the truth. It's the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we are looking at verse number 10. 1 Timothy 4:10. Paul says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Amen. What does he say? Timothy, he says, you're not going to be immune to problems in life. You're saved and born again. We worship the God of the universe, the God of creation. But you're not going to get away from problems in this life. But he says, just stay faithful. Stay true. Give attendance to these things. He says, why? Because if not, you'll depart and you'll shipwreck. And others might, but not you. Don't you do it. Don't shipwreck your faith. Amen. Don't depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8. Here's another group. 1 Timothy 5, 8. The Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." Here's another group. They deny the faith. Now, in the context here of 1 Timothy chapter number 5, he's talking about widows. And it says, here is what the faith is. It is, there's widows. There's different types of widows here in this passage. But he's talking about having a widow that's a part of your family, and you're taking care and providing for your family, as we see in verse 8. Provide not, especially for those of his own house. He denieth the faith and is worse than an infidel. It says non-believers even do this. They even take care of their own widows and their own family. And if you don't do that, in this case, it says you deny the faith. What does that mean? Here's what the faith is. It's very clear. We've told you what the faith is, and now you're going to deny that. You're going to deny that to do something else. And that's what denying the faith is. The Bible tells us what sound doctrine is. The Bible tells us how we should live in the faith. Amen. And those that deny the faith, they refuse to live in it. They refuse to live in the Word of God. Yep. They just deny it. Right. Whatever. I know it to be true, I deny it. I don't care about it. I'm just going to turn. They reject what God has revealed. Amen. That's not a good place to be in. Rejecting what God has revealed unto you. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80, if you've been saved for 50 years or for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. The Lord will lead and guide and show you the next steps he wants for you in growth. And to deny the faith and reject the faith is going to end up in shipwreck. It's going to end up in shipwreck. Why? Because people deny the faith. There's tons of reasons why people deny the faith. It's too hard. I don't like it. That's the most common one. I don't like what God's telling me to do. I don't want to do that. I want to do anything other than that. And what happens is your faith gets shipwrecked when you deny the faith. And then what happens to your life, your life gets out of whack. It gets out of spot. It gets in a spiral, and nothing good comes from that. Amen. Nobody wants to get in a boat saying, "This boat's gonna shipwreck." Right, who's signing up for that? Nobody. Nobody in their right mind. Let's put it that way. I'm just looking for some excitement. Okay. No one's gonna be like, "Let's get on this boat and let's go out into the water and let's crash it." And let's just find ourselves out there. Nobody's doing that. Why would we make decisions in our Christian life to shipwreck our faith and get on board being like, "I'm driving the boat and I'm looking for the nearest obstacle"? Nobody would do that. But yet people do it with their faith all the time. They shipwreck their faith. They shipwreck their faith by departing from the faith. Not only that, but look in 1 Timothy 5. Look him down in verse 11. It's not, the Bible says, "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith." All right, now this is not against marriage. All right, it's talking about these young widows, and they have this trust that God's going to take care of them. We can see this in verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God." So there is a situation where a younger woman who is widowed, she initially starts to trust in God, but then her trust in God wanes and she says, "I don't trust God anymore. So I'm going to have to figure this out on my own." And she's going to go out and marry someone outside of trusting in God. And that's a problem for anyone at any age. But he says, don't do that. And the Bible says they've cast off their first faith. Their first faith being trusting in God. And Christians will also shipwreck their faith by casting off their faith. God can't take care of me, so I'll look somewhere else. Even though we have the promises of Scripture, "My God shall supply all your need." That's a promise in the Scriptures. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Bible says he's the God of all comfort. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These are promises of the Scripture. And yet people walk away from the Lord. They cast off their faith because something didn't go right and I don't like it. And now I'll cast it off because God doesn't know how to take care of me. God's the greatest father you could ever have. I thank God for my father. It was his birthday yesterday. I did call him, all right, on his birthday and talk to him. It was his birthday yesterday. I'm thankful for the father that he was to me. But I serve a father that was better than him. My kids can have a father better than me. Who is that? That's God. He knows. He cares. Listen, people who doubt don't get shipwrecked. It's people who cast off their faith that get shipwrecked. It's okay to doubt. I'm not saying we got to be so, you know, our mind has to be so steely that we never waver. We're always on top of everything. If I have any kind of doubt, I must not be saved. That's crazy talk. Why? Because you and I, we don't have it all together all the time. And we should know that. And it's okay to admit that. It's not an excuse. It's just sometimes situations and things happen in life and we say, "Lord, I don't..." Even the disciples say, "Lord, increase our faith." Amen. Why? Because it was difficult. It's not just people who doubt. If you doubt the Lord sometimes, it doesn't mean you're just going to run shipwreck. It's people who cast off their faith and say, well, God can't take care of me, so I have to make these other provisions in my life to fix everything. No, you don't. Amen. You don't know how to fix it. Right. How do you know what's best for you in your life? Well, it's for me to be happy and to have all my bills paid and to be able to get all the stuff I want and be able to always have a pretty new car. You have a nice place to live. That's what I need. Well, yeah, that's what you need to be a spoiled brat. Some of you are well on your way. Now, we don't need what we need. You know what I need sometimes? I need sometimes to be put in a spot where I can do nothing but look up to God and say, Lord, help me. Amen. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm messing stuff up. Amen. Lord, I don't want to be shipwrecked in my faith. I'm just going to lean toward God. I'm just going to go towards you. I'm going to lean on you. Lord, help me. Amen. That's what we need sometimes. Don't cast off your faith in seasons of doubt. Strengthen your faith. Get in the Word. Get on your knees and just say, Lord, help me. Amen. And just pray and ask the Lord. Don't cast off your faith. Why? You end up shipwrecked. Don't cast it off. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to keep moving. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 10. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Paul writing to Timothy says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Skip down to verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee, amen. There's those that err from the faith. These are those that they wander from the right way. They deviate, they stray from the line of duty in the Christian life. They lose sight of the goal. Their aim gets off. And what do? They err from the faith. They err from the faith. Some people, I hit on it briefly. Some people, it's money. In verse 10, it says they coveted after it, and they erred from the faith. They stopped putting the Lord first. They said, well, the Lord's still a part of my life, but I'm just going to really concentrate on money. Okay. You're going to shipwreck your faith. And you're going to end up with a life that you may or may not have money. And then at some point, you'll probably turn around and be like, all right, where's the Lord? I feel pretty comfortable. I got on my way. Where's the Lord? You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather have the Lord worry about my money. I'd rather just follow after the Lord and then allow him to provide for me what I need. Amen. Instead of chasing after what I want or what I think I want and then trying to fit the Lord into that plan. Why? Because you err from the faith. Amen. Some people in verse number 20 says, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. Yeah. Some profess that stuff and they err from the faith. They err concerned. They get so caught up in politics and the news that they err from the faith. Amen. I'm not talking about just the Democrats. We're talking about Republicans too. It becomes a god. It becomes this thing where they err from the faith because politics is now just everything. My identity in politics just, it's everything that I am. That shouldn't be. Christ should be who you are. I'm not saying you can't watch the news. I mean, I don't get anything from the news, but I'm not saying you can't watch the news. I'm not saying you can't be interested in politics, but you know, if you're leaning towards that consuming you, then be careful because you'll err from the faith. And you'll put that before God. YouTube. I like watching a good YouTube video about something that's interesting to me. People can get on there and just click and watch away, and all of a sudden what happens? Erred from the faith. There's 1.5 million people really willing to teach you something with their vast knowledge or none at all. Get caught up in the small, deep things of the Bible. Oh, well, what about this thing? What about this other deep thing? What about getting this thing out? What do you think about this other thing? And what about this one thing? Listen, I love studying the Bible. You want to talk Bible? Let's talk Bible. But what can happen? You can err from the faith by getting into the Word and then wondering, well, I wonder what that little thing right there means, and I wonder how we're going to talk about that and how we're going to divide this other thing in here. So you're against deep things of the Bible. Come out on Sunday nights. If you dare. We get into some deep stuff, all right, in the Bible. I'm talking about tribulation right now and the Antichrist right now on Sunday night. You want to talk about some deep things? Well, we can go deep. We can hop off here and dive deep. But some people just live in that world where everything just has to be, well, did you hear about this new thing? Did you hear about this new doctrine? And what about this other thing? And what happens? They just err from the faith. They don't know whether they're coming or going. They're useless for Christ. They don't tell anybody about the gospel. They don't do anything. They don't encourage anybody. They just get together with other people and just, ooh, I just want to find out this little thing in there. They err from the faith. Get off track. You get shipwrecked. Avoid the nonsense. Avoid the static noise. Put the Lord first in your life, or else you'll err from the faith. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm on the last page, all right? Which means absolutely nothing, but 2 Timothy 2, look in verse 15. This might seem contradictory, but it's not. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They overthrow the faith of some. Some have their faith overthrown, and it leads to shipwreck. They get into false doctrine. That's what it's talking about here. The Bible tells us we're to study. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. Why? Because there's some that come in with vain babblings, and their word is like a canker, and concerning the truth in verse 18 have erred. In this case, these two were saying that their resurrection was already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You need to be careful of false doctrine. Because many a young Christian, many a Christian that was serving the Lord and feeding from the Lord and from God's word and put in a local church that was trying to take care of them and watch over them and preach to them and lead them and guide them and direct them. Many a Christian has gone off and chased after some false doctrines. They're not content. I have to learn. I just have to learn everything. I have to learn everything. You can't learn everything at one time. You can't get it all at one time. It takes time. Yeah. It's just how it works. Some people are smarter than others. They get it quicker than others. Some of us, not that way. It takes, what's it take? Time. It takes repetition. Amen. Going over and over and over again before some of the things of the Word of God really sink into our hearts and we have some better understanding according to the Scriptures. That's why it says to study the Word of God. Get caught up in false doctrine. A huge false doctrine right now, sweeping through Bible-believing churches is Calvinism. Yeah. Don't get caught up in that. Say, Calvinism, I'm not familiar with that. Okay, well, good. Calvinism is a doctrine that says this. It says that God, since he knows everything, that means he has predetermined everything. So what that leads to is for salvation, as far as salvation is concerned, you don't choose to get saved and receive Christ, God has chosen you. And so you are either chosen by God unto salvation, or you are chosen by God unto damnation. And that's the gist of the salvation. Now, I know many, many different people with that beliefs would stand up and argue little finite terminologies. But the general gist is you are either predetermined by God to be saved, and you will be saved, nothing you can do about it, or you are predetermined to be damned to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's not scripture. That's a theology. That's trying to figure out God in your mind as a human, and he says, my ways aren't your ways. And so, but that people get caught up in that and say, well, I'm one of the chosen, so I feel pretty special. And so I feel comforted in the fact that this, and I feel comforted in these theologies to where I feel like I have it all figured out now. I don't have to live by faith so much because I have it all figured out. My mind understands how God did it all. That's a problem. You can't figure out God. You just must be dumb. All right. I'm not trying to be willingly ignorant. We try to learn from the scriptures, but don't get caught up in that. And people steal your faith away from your Bible. We preach the King James Bible here. And we believe it is the perfect word of God for the English-speaking people. God preserved the words that he wanted for us to have. He preserved them perfectly in every word of the scripture that he's given us. And when you end up getting into new versions, you know what you do? You lose out on what God has for you. You lose out on it. I'm not saying somebody has a different version and you're just a reprobate and you can't ever get saved. That's foolish talk. Amen. What I'm saying is God has something for you and for his people, and he's preserved it and took care of it, and it's perfected. And you want to study the word of God? Everything goes along with that. You study to show thyself approved unto God. He opens up the scripture. Well, it's just too hard. I don't understand it. It's so, you know what? With a little bit of effort, we can all get smarter. Amen. With a little bit of effort, we can learn some new vocabulary. Amen. It's okay. I don't want to take God and all his majesty and dumb it down to me. That's no good. I want to try to lift myself up towards God. Amen. And his blessing. Study. You know what happens? Your assurances of faith come from your study, not my study. I can sit here and open up the scriptures and tell you about the word of God and tell you what it says and show you the verses and go back and forth, and those are good things, those are profitable things. But you know what happens when you're reading the Bible and when you're studying the Bible and the Lord shows you something? What do you believe about this? Well, my pastor says this. Okay, that's not a bad answer. But when all of a sudden the Lord shows it to you and you say, let me show you this verse, because the Lord showed me in the scriptures, I wrote it down when pastor said it, but now I get it. Yeah. Now I understand. Now the Lord showed me. Yeah. No one's going to steal that from you. Yeah. Why? Because God gave it to you. Yeah. And God help us if we're just so weak as Christians that we just go watch a YouTube video and our faith gets swept away. With every just wind of doctrine and everything that's popular here and there. Man, no thank you. No, stick with the word of God. And stick with the truth of the scriptures. Amen. What happens? People get their faith shipwrecked. And what about you and what about me? Paul has some encouragement. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at these verses quickly. 1 Timothy 4. Look in verse number 6. Sorry, 2 Timothy. I was just kidding there for a second. 2 Timothy 4, look in verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I didn't get shipwrecked. I did get shipwrecked, but not in the faith. Paul says, I was in the water hanging out, but my faith stayed strong. Amen. He says, I've kept the faith. Amen. I have fought a good fight. That's what he tells Timothy. He tells him to fight. He tells him to keep the faith. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 3. He says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what he tells Timothy? He says, endure hardness. It's not always going to be easy. He says, don't get entangled with the mess of this world. And please God. That's what he says. Please the Lord. Yeah. If your aim is to please the Lord, you have a tough time getting shipwrecked. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, but I'm just trying to please you with my life, Lord. Please lead me and guide me and teach me and direct me how to please you with my life. And boy, that'll keep you from shipwreck. That'll keep you away from the stuff of this world. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy 6, 12. He says to Timothy, after he told him about the money and people erring from the faith, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight. Lay hold on it. Don't let it go. Lay hold on your faith. Don't get shipwrecked. Why? You get shipwrecked in your faith. You get off somewhere to the side. There's no security in it. Nothing but doubt. Nothing but doubt. When you get shipwrecked, the devil gets in with doubt, and just when he gets you off of your center, when he gets you off the foundation of Christ and his word, when he gets you off the foundation of sound doctrine and following the Holy Spirit of God, when he pushes you off there, boy, it's a world of doubt. It's a world of doubt. It's a world of confusion. And people that get shipwrecked, ends up being this spiral. They leave the Lord and they find themselves trying to figure things out for themselves. Man, God doesn't desire that for you. I don't want that for you. Don't shipwreck your faith. Stay close to the Lord. Draw close to him. Call out unto him and say, Lord, am I headed towards shipwreck? Lord, I don't want it. I don't want it. Amen. Lord, please draw me back. Please point me in the right direction. Don't let that happen in your life. Follow after the Lord. Shipwrecked faith. How's your faith this morning? Is it strong? I thank you for being here this morning. I hope you were listening. I hope you were letting it sink down in your heart. Why? It's important. It's important. Don't be shipwrecked. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless the warning this morning. Lord, I did not have anyone in particular in mind. Lord, nobody in the audience was I thinking about this morning. Lord, I just sometimes as a preacher, you just get real tired of seeing people shipwreck their faith. And Lord, people making all kinds of decisions for all kinds of reasons. And Lord, I pray those that heard my voice this morning, those that wanted to be here this morning but couldn't, or those that maybe health reasons or something else, Lord, they couldn't be here this morning and be with us to sing the songs of Zion and worship around the scriptures. Lord, I pray that you'd protect them. Lord, those that even this morning have already made their own decisions, Lord, heading toward shipwreck. Lord, I pray you protect them. Lord, I pray you draw them back to you. I pray they would get back on course. Lord, that they'd allow you to speak through their conscience, through the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to speak to them. Allow them to have the priorities to be the right things, not to err from the faith or put off the faith. Depart, Lord, from the faith to stay strong in their faith and to fight the good fight. Amen. Lord, a day like Paul could say, I've finished my course. Lord, I pray you protect our people. Protect me, Lord. I'm not immune from it. Lord, I want to stay close to you. I want to stay true. I want to stay straight. Lord, I want to follow after you. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning where their faith is wavering and, Lord, they have doubts, Lord, don't let them leave, Lord. Don't let them shipwreck. Lord, draw them close and, Lord, speak to them. Be very real in their life. Well, I pray to help them. And, Lord, we would just draw close to you and use the time of prayer, use the time to get away from the noise and spend some time talking to you and allowing you to speak to us and allow to open up the scriptures and allow the scriptures to feed us from your perfect book. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. Lord, thank you again for those that are here. Thank you for those that are doing the best they can. And Lord, you would just continue to strengthen us so we could be the soldiers and servants that we should be for you. Lord, we pray even so, come Lord Jesus. If you don't come and get us soon, Lord, that we would just keep going forward for you. Lord, give us some fruit. Give us some souls that we see get saved. Let us see some lives that get influenced for the better. Lord, let us see some people we invite come to church and walk through those doors and find a church home here where we're trying to preach truth and uplift you and correct ourselves and stay walking on the narrow path. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Bless us now this afternoon. Bring us back tonight as we get into the word again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. You are dismissed this morning.